we stutter, that we are competent, we are not slow, and that stuttering does not have anything to do with one's intelligence.
Welcome to Some Stutter Law, Newfoundland Labrador's first podcast about living with communication disorders. It is a production of the Communication Collaborative. My name is Greg O'Grady. I am a person who stutters and your host. Some Stutter Law aims to rebuild confidence and hope for people who live with communication differences by dismantling myths, stigma, stereotypes, and barriers. For more information about the Communication Collaborative or this podcast, you can find us at somestutterlaw.ca. If you only get one thing from this podcast, we hope it's this. It's okay to stutter, and it's okay to communicate differently. It's not how we communicate that's important, it's the message that's important. Today, Some Stutter Law welcomes Kara Bennett. Now, just a little bit about Kara. Kara is a stutter warrior, wife, mother of two boys, and a stepmom to a daughter. A registered nurse of 20 years. A small business owner helping women feel and look their best with skincare and cosmetics. Kara started a Best Life Reset program January of this year and is still maintaining weight and wellness. She is very active with the YMCA community in Grand Falls, Windsor, a Christian that keeps helping others any way she can. Kara has a steadfast, unwavering faith that everything will be okay. So, welcome to Some Stutter Law, Kara, and thank you very much for joining us for this conversation today. So, Kara, is this your first podcast?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What made you decide to be a guest on Some Stutter Law?
Actually, I was intrigued that you would have me and that I can hopefully help others.
Thank you. Can you share with our Some Stutter Law listeners a little about your history as a person who stutters?
I remember that I started to stutter on my first day of school. I was extremely shy, and oh my goodness, how do I answer those questions? Really, by being a person who stutters, I was a bit marked as a child in school. I wouldn't participate in the classroom or speak or even ask any questions. And after school, I would have to eat the books as such, like I would have to study hard. But But I grew into an adult, and I was confident in becoming a adult who stutters. I have a great family who supported me, that I was always told that to be is up to me, and from that, I took that on as an overachiever. Anyway,
Great.
I'll just stop there.
Okay. Now, Kara, it's interesting. Now, you've been a registered nurse for 20 years. Now, knowing that you're a
Yes.
person who stutters, what made you go into this profession, given it's so much stress, a lot of demands on communication? So, what made you decide to do this profession?
I always loved helping others any way I can. After high school, I started out as a cashier, and actually I was laid off because I was told that I couldn't handle the position as a cashier because I couldn't speak through a microphone, I know. And at the age of 18, 19, you can imagine I hit then all like my self-esteem, everything hit rock bottom. And I then, after that, went and went actually to the Miller Center for like close to 3 years of speech speech therapy, and I worked home care, and through speech and home care, I had an increase in self-esteem, self-confidence, and helping others. So it was there that after I got tired of working minimum wage, I was like, I love helping others. How about becoming an LPN? And my family was like, are you sure you want to do nursing? It's a lot of talking. And I did, obviously. I became an LPN. And in college, I used to use a tape recorder. It works like when you speak in church, and it's a delayed auditory feedback that I used to tape myself off with my presentations, and I would start over and over until I was more fluent as such. So if there was a way, I was going to find that way, that I was to achieve.
Excellent. That's a powerful statement about you really are a determined person. And so it is a way of
I
doing it.
am.
You would succeed. Now, Kerr, on a comment that you made on the NLSA Facebook page, you were saying that there's a point in nursing that you were bullied and discriminated against. Do you want to share a little bit about the experiences of being bullied and discriminated against as a nurse?
Oh, okay. After I was an LPN for about 2 years, I decided that I wanted to be an RN. I know. And I did extra courses. They knew I was very, very persistent, because I am that person who stutters, and I would call Ontario at the time almost every day to ask, am I accepted yet? Am I accepted? Anyway, I left here in 2002, went to Brockville, Ontario, and I had a scholarship up there. I had family who told me, gosh, how do you do it? On your own, all alone. I loved it. I'm a explorer, I guess, also. But anyway, after I graduated in Ontario, I started and I accepted a permanent full-time position with Eastern Health. And Being green as a nurse, I won't name the hospital or anything. The term that nurses eat they're young is true. I had co-workers. They were two RNs. They actually had written up a statement to the ARNNL stating that I was incompetent because I was asking questions. And in nursing school, we were taught always to never assume anything. And they also stated that the doctors couldn't understand what I was actually saying. So I obviously then, just starting out, took some time off, and obviously I was heartbroken, but I didn't stop. I did extra courses. I didn't have to. I did, again, as an overachiever, I did extra courses, and I also then switched positions and worked at a different hospital. And I've been all over from ER, medicine, all over, okay? And it was okay. I plan to have children, and I had my career to always fall back on. So I was always independent. Okay. When COVID hit in 2020, I moved to Central to be closer to family. I have two boys, which are my heart. Two of them have ADD and specific learning disorders, and one of them stutter. When COVID hit and the schools closed down, and I had to homeschool and all that, I went off of work. It was a very stressful time. Working in acute care is very stressful on my speech, because if I'm hurried, I actually have these, like I've got a TMJ, I've got neck issues, like chronic neck and shoulder injuries, but the more stressed I am and hurried, it was like someone is choking me all the time. I would end up with also migraines. So when COVID hit and nurses had to always wear a mask, okay, and I would have on the mask all the time, and oh, I cannot tell you how hard, even as an overachiever, I kind of then was off for a while because of the stress, and I had struggled with depression, and it was like everything was adding up. I was overweight. Okay, it gets better though. I just wanted to give a glimpse of how COVID hit and we had to wear masks all the time, and I would have more strain and blocks, and I would still be hurried. And it was also in 2020 that I was actually diagnosed with ADD at the age of 40. And it wasn't diagnosed earlier, I guess, because I had that type A personality as an overachiever. But it opened up a lot of like those aha, that's why I always felt I wasn't as fast as the other nurses, that I couldn't break down the task easily, and I couldn't hurry, right? I'm probably going off
Oh no,
on the
that's fine, Carrie, that's fine.
Hey, tangent. That's all. After I actually was diagnosed with ADD, I and healthcare tried to accommodate me without actually accommodating on the paper. Okay. I know there is an actual difference. They had me at a vaccination clinic, which is okay if you didn't have a speech impediment. I had to down up, and I had the shield on and a mask, and all of this was always blocked. And I would have to ask like up to 30 something questions before I had to administer the vaccines. And at the end of the day, I would come home and I had migraines because I was straining all this. Having a stoppage in my speech, my vocal cords actually collapse all the time, and I have to start over. Anyway, squirrel. See, ADD. Also, after that, when I told them, I'm sorry, I can't, is there anything else as a competent RN I can do that doesn't require a lot of talking? They placed me last at a swabbing clinic, working within public health. And it's there that I'm still gowned up with all of the gear on. And I'm hurried. I'm constantly hurried. And I still have to ask all kinds of questions before I even swab anyone. I've had house keepers ask me, hurry up. Why can't you prioritize? You can do it. Hurry up. Right? And obviously, I can't hurry up. Right? I've had a lot of professional people, whether it's anyone from a doctor to, I don't know, anyone to hurry, 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 not to especially over the telephone, to cut me off. So it's I don't know what else to say right now.
Well, oh,
Sorry.
that's okay, Kerr. Kerr, what advice would would you give another person who stutters, who has in the past and who who's currently experiencing bullying and discrimination? What advice would you give somebody?
To put yourself first, to that what happens happens for us. And not to us. To have a strong support system and to like this. Group is excellent.
Thank you.
Hang in there. And talk about it. It's okay to talk about it because what we have to say is important. We are important. That nobody is any better than anyone else. Hope that helps.
Oh, definitely. Oh, sorry.
I found that what helped me a lot, obviously, was having a supportive mother of all, but also speech therapy. Even I know that as a child, it was hard because you have all of these, like, why me? Right? Why did it happen to me? I am the baby of a family of six. So I guess being the runt of a family, perhaps that made me want to achieve. I don't know, but anyway, speech. Therapy is where I could be me. I learned relax Asian techniques, especially in my neck, and breathing. Breathing is so important. Self-care is so huge, and especially in speech. Therapy. It also helps you to increase fluency. In therapy and out of therapy in time. So it really helped me. I found also, the earlier you have therapy as a child, it helps you out after.
Definitely. Kara, in your introduction, you refer to yourself as a stutter warrior. I love that. I really love that. And would you like to elaborate a little bit more on that, being a stutter warrior?
Yeah, sure. I actually had a top made for the walk there with the NLSA. As a person who stutters, I always, as a child, lacked self-confidence, self-esteem, that I wasn't good enough, that everything I had to say wasn't important, because as a person who stutter, you have to fight to be heard. And I'm here to say, you know what? You are good enough. You are worth listening to.
Wonderful. Have you thought about going in the career of being a motivational speaker? Have you ever thought about that?
Anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything is possible.
Okay. Wonderful. Kara, what would you, what are your thoughts about the word fluency? Is it a good word, bad word? We often, some of the people that I know often refer to it as the F word. F for fluency.
Yeah. No, I think it's okay, because there isn't a cure for stuttering. But we can increase fluency, and we can gain fluency skills. And as a person that stutters, if I can obtain skills to help me breathe, relax, start over. Anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
This, you know, this year's a slogan at the for the Newfoundland Labrador Studying Association, Walk, Run, Roll. Our slogan this year was, "It's okay to stutter." What you know? What are your thoughts about that?
It is indeed. It is okay to stutter. It actually never ever stopped anything I wanted to do. As I get older, I find it's harder rolling with the punches because of my ADD and my stutter. But it is totally okay to stutter.
Mm. Would you elaborate more about as you're getting older, is more challenging rolling with the punches? Do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, sure. When I was younger, like perhaps in my 20s, my speech didn't really like stop stop me from anything, but with the ADD and its often people who stutter are often or have other disorders. Often. Who knew that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. But it's like everything has to be structured. Like having ADD, it's like the time management, short-term memory loss. Like I am in speech speech therapy, and when she asks me a question, I'm halfway through it, and I'm, you know, out, I don't know, it's hard to stay on task.
Mm.
The older I get.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Kerr, when you went through that period of being bullied and discriminated against, did you explore other options for support within the let's say human rights? Did you go that route at all? And if not, why not? Because you see, most people who study, well, I mean, this is Greg O'Grady talking, that you know, most I think a lot of people who stutter may be fear, you know, afraid to go that route, but fear of more repercussions.
Yeah. No, not. I hadn't. I again. I think it was a mixture of the stuttering and ADD that I kind of caved and was off on stress leave because I internalized I was off because of me. But now I realize that it is quite sad that I am not working as an RN. I am a competent RN. It's just sad that they couldn't accommodate. But I am home. I am helping my two boys with their many challenges, and I'm okay with that. Like, I am still helping others. I still volunteer a lot, and I am okay with that. Whether I ever return to nursing, if I do, I wouldn't work in a fast paced environment because it places too much stress on my body.
Do you feel, Kara, that the nursing profession needs to know more about stuttering, at least just to start a conversation about stuttering? Because I find, and this is just not only nursing either, but I mean, because stuttering, I feel, is not under the lens of government within our province. You know, like,
yes,
stuttering needs to be brought up in the open more. Your thoughts about that?
Yes, it does. Like, even when I was an RN, right? I would have on the back, I am a person who stutters because of of those bloody masks and, you know, like I still probably, like, when asked what is your name or your number, I still have people laugh in my face. Oh, you forget your number, or oh, you forget your name? No, I stutter. Oh, they say, I'm sorry. Right? Yes. Awareness is everything. That is why I am so passionate in spreading awareness.
Wonderful.
And it is okay to stutter.
Now, having two young, young children in school, one of which that stutters, what do you think the school, the teachers need to know about stuttering to support students who stutter? Because it's, you know, unfortunately, you know, the teacher needs a lot of support as well, and they're all doing the best they can, but I feel that yes, there's need to be more awareness and support for teachers within the school.
Yes. Especially students. I mean, the classrooms are huge. Speech. I don't think there are enough speech language pathologists either. But time is everything. Having the patience, you know, even teaching parents to not finish, you know, sentences. I've even had my husband to come to speech therapy because he thought he was helping me when he would like nod or answer my questions. That is a big no-no.
So true,
right?
So true. Yeah. You don't finish a person who starts sentences. I mean, that's an unwritten rule, whatever, you know. Yeah.
And I had him come and until he actually, like, even it teaches that eye contact is so important, because if I see that the other person isn't even, you know, looking at me, I know, you know, immediately that I'm going to stutter, right?
True. Kara, has has your son shared any of the challenges with you about his experiences in school? What would be some of the concerns?
I know. Actually, he doesn't have a stutter as bad as me, but he struggles on the aspect of the ADD as well. So it's it's always providing that atmosphere of it's okay. It's being the proactive mom and saying, okay, I really think he needs this or he needs that, or how can I help at home, and how can I help him practice? And
Definitely.
yeah.
Kerry, what what would we be some of the key in a key messages you would share to the general public about stuttering, the key messages? I know there's a lot because we really have seriously we really have a long road to go within our province of Newfoundland Labrador to spread awareness, understanding, education, and acceptance of stuttering. What would be the key messages from you?
That we stutter, that we are competent, we are not slow, and that's stuttering does not have anything to do with one's intelligence, which is huge, I find. What we have to say is important. Everything we have to say is important to us. And it would make our lives a lot easier if the public would have just a slight amount of patience and time. And compassion is so big.
Well, so true, so true. I mean, these are great pearls of wisdom, and thank you for sharing them. Now, before we close, Kerr, do you want to give a shout out to your small business?
Oh,
Which is important.
that's okay. It is beauty is, well, yours with Kara George. Again, beauty is yours with Kara George. Gosh, that's so hard to say.
I know.
As a person who stutters, though, I love to sing. And I was wondering if anyone else actually do.
Okay.
Like, I really am fluent in singing. Like, I love to sing. I also want to say that in the harshest times, I've always had strong faith that and the, I've found since COVID people are more, I don't know what to say, nastier. That when times are really tough, you can always reach out to someone, I hope, and always pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Definitely, Kara. So Kara, we will close now, but like I still have tons of questions to ask you, but we will invite you back before part two of Kara. Would that be okay to come back?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, thank you very much for your time and all of your advocacy and support work, Kara. You are definitely a study warrior, definitely.
Oh God, yeah. Goodness. I love you.
Okay.
Thank you.